Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone. This week, we're unpacking the political power play holding Kodikuza hostage. The mayoral election was delayed last week, and the big question now is, will the ANC's preferred candidates for mayor and deputy mayor be pushed through with their 28 seats in council and their tentative one-part seat coalition? Or is there a real chance for the opposition with a slim majority to unite and elect a mayor of their own? And that's where it gets complicated. Can opposition parties actually agree on a shared candidate? And are they serious about forming a coalition? Or are we watching another round of political theatre? Joining me to break it down all today is Privy McCann, the DA's caucus leader here in Kodikuza. So we're going to be talking about what's happening behind closed doors, what the numbers are actually saying, and whether the public hoping for change are being set up for disappointment or witnessing the start of something new. Welcome, Privy, to Uncensored.
Good morning, Penny. Good morning, Dave, and to the listeners of 88 FM. It's really good to be on your show today.
Yeah, you know what? We've got quite a little bit to unpack. We heard last week from the Independent Alliance, the chairman of Independent Alliance, Kwame Nkleko, and we wanted to just start off with, do you think the opposition in Kodikuza has the strategic maturity to avoid the same fate like Johannesburg or other municipalities like Ekurhuleni and Tswana? Do you think they can manage to take the mayoral seat if they unite?
Penny, I think it's a very extraordinary but exciting time in Kodikuza. And I do think that there is a real opportunity to consolidate. And I'll reflect on how Mayor Ali Ngidi was removed. Yes. And you will recall that he was elected 8 months ago. So he came into office on the 5th of November, 2024. And it took a really, really courageous act from multiple opposition parties to collectively highlight his shenanigans to the point where the ANC internally then conducted an investigation into one of their own deployees. And that culminated in the removal of the mayor, which shows that if opposition parties collectively work together, I think it sets a benchmark for how governance real transparent governance can unfold in Kodikuza.
Okay, so if opposition parties here want to present a united front, what kind of trade-offs would the DA personally consider as the majority in council?
So, Penny, we are a nine-seat party, so we're the official opposition in council. And I'm pretty sure that this question is based on the letter that we wrote to other opposition parties last week.
Can you just quickly elaborate for the listeners who missed last week's episode?
Yes. So last week there was a council sitting scheduled for the Thursday, which was postponed at the 11th hour. And that council sitting would have dealt with the inauguration of a new mayor and a new deputy mayor in Kodikuza. We got an 11th hour notice on the Wednesday indicating that it was postponed, but with no real reason. And obviously, internally, it had then come to light that the ANC were finalizing their own internal processes, which is quite a broad statement. Subsequent to that, we had written a letter to the leaders of all the opposition parties in council.
So can I just interrupt? Sure. Just for our listeners who aren't up to scratch with the dynamics in council. So the council is a 59-seater council.
Yes.
The DA has 9 seats, as you said. The ANC has the majority with 28 seats, but they don't have enough seats to form an outright majority. They require how many seats to get their majority passed?
So Penny, that's correct. And we've been a hung council since 2021. So when the last local government election happened in November 2021, we became a hung council. So the ANC had 28 seats, and then the oppositions collectively had 30. There was a by-election earlier in the year where an ANC councillor resigned and stood for a new political party.
Yeah.
Subsequently won his ward, and that then took the ANC down to 28 seats in the council, and the opposition's now to 31. Historically, the ANC have always had a strategic, almost unofficial alliance with two single-seat parties. One was ATM, who was given the MPAC chairperson position.
Okay.
And the other one was AIC.
It was the African Transformational Movement and the African Independence.
Yes. Yeah. And so they gave the AIC one of their exco seats as a trade-off in order to get those two political parties to vote with them going forward. Most recently, what's happened is those two single-seat parties, especially ATM, have publicly consolidated with MK. So it's left that arrangement in quite a almost a precarious position.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the time is right now for the oppositions to consolidate and form a new government in Kwadugusa. But it will take a lot of negotiation.
Yeah. I just want, some would argue that what voters want right now isn't perfect alignment between parties, but functional leadership that gets things done. Would the DA be open to backing a compromise candidate, someone not from the party, if it meant ousting the ANC out of the municipality right now? Because what we are seeing as voters, you know, the public here in on the North Coast, is a very, very fast deterioration of our municipality. You know, our service delivery has gone down.
Penny, I think I'll answer the question in two parts. And again, I'll reflect on what happened from November 2024 to the 3rd of July this year. And I think that the one thing I must make implicitly clear is the DA, we're not here for positions. And the reason we led the charge on Ali Ngidi and, basically the shenanigans
and his deputy
was Chile. Specifically because we wanted the public to see how bad governance is under the ANC. The discussion around fielding candidates and supporting other candidates for the mayoral and the deputy mayor position. So we, as you know, are a political party of structures. We go to federal and provincial congresses to elect actual provincial leadership and structures. So that would be a discussion with them, and they would have to sanction that actual decision. And I know that there are talks already happening.
Okay, that's interesting. So basically, it's not, the decision now on the leadership is actually coming from another structure, not the Kwadugusa level, which is...
Yes. So whilst caucuses do operate autonomously to a large degree, decisions like this that would impact the lives and livelihoods of the people of Kwadugusa, that would have to happen at a provincial and national level.
Yeah. So what extent is Kwadugusa being directed from high up in party structures? What extent have they come forward and said, this is how it's going to happen, this is the candidate we're going to field, and, you know, there's no negotiation around the table? How does it actually work?
It's not necessarily a case of no negotiation, but what would have to happen is for any candidate from any of the political parties from the opposition bloc to be fielded for either a mayorship or a deputy mayorship.
Okay.
It would have to come from the executive. So you have to be a member of EXCO. And most of the opposition parties only have one EXCO member. So it would ultimately be that specific EXCO member that party would field.
And can we also just quickly discuss the ANC's candidates that they have put forward, which... my bullshit radar just went off when I saw it. Sorry. I was actually left speechless, but, you know, the level of outrage was felt with everyone. So we've got a mayor who 9 months ago was taken out of her position as mayor through a motion of no confidence. Even her own party accused her of mismanagement, corruption, divisive politics. taken out, and then she's now, her name's back in the hat. And then we've got a previous mayor who was with the Lembe District Municipality, and 2 decades ago, he was also mayor in Kwadukuza. And during his tenure there, we had a municipal manager who was assassinated, and that was a hit linked to taxi violence. So we've got someone, Skunduzo Gumbide, he was always weekly in the local media about the water challenges in Stanga and the Lembe region, massive failure that happened during his tenure. Now we've got him as a possible candidate. So these are the two that are fielding.
Penny, I think the reality is the ANC would be very hard-pressed to find anyone that is not tainted to some degree. I mean, let's be honest, Lindi Inyaka, the former mayor who is set to come in as the deputy mayor, I mean, what is her legacy as a mayor? Her legacy is failed disaster projects, you know, and she's still got close protection as a PR counselor. So yeah. She's a PR counselor. She doesn't lead a ward, and she's still got 2 close protection officers. Zdu Gumede, former mayor of the district municipality, as you said, you know, water is still a crisis, and it's a legacy that he left when he exited in 2021. So I think, it would be a very, very tall order for the ANC to find anyone that isn't tainted. Maybe, you know, maybe they have the right qualifications.
No.
But that's not necessarily, that doesn't necessarily translate to bold leadership that the people of Kwadukuza now want to.
And you know what? The leadership has already proven themselves. Look at Ali. In his short term, he's spent over R1 million in cars and
1.1 million rand in vehicle hire, 173,000 rand a month in security.
I mean, this is the leadership that we're talking about. So going forward, do you think our field in Kwadukuza, do we, our political terrain in Kwadukuza, is this different? Because we've seen so much implosion under the weight of egos and unclear mandates in Johannesburg, and how the opposition alliances have just crumbled under that weight. Do you think in Kwadukuza our political terrain could possibly pivot into a positive direction? Because right now I think the public's appetite for a strong leadership is very much what is playing out.
Penny, I think the nature of politics to a large degree is, I think there is an element of self-interest if we reflect on how things have unfolded in this term in Kwadukuza, but not just Kwadukuza. I think it's across the board. You've got to look at all KZN municipalities, with the exception, obviously, of Umgeni. But if you look at all KZN municipalities, you know, I was just looking at what's happening in Umkhanyakude, and it's just, there's just far too much self-interest from politicians. Having said that, though, I'm very hopeful about Kwadukuza and the trajectory that we are moving forward in. Yeah. And I'm very hopeful about 2026, most importantly, because that's the real prize, you know, where it's a big local government election. And I think we have a real opportunity as strong opposition to consolidate and to show the people of Kwadukuza what good governance is outside of the ANC, because there's only one thing that people have known for the last 31 years. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, with service delivery now, with this whole political maneuvering happening, there's a service delivery collapse. I just want to bring out, we have traffic lights, which we're going to be covering next week, that are out of function. We were told there's a budget that's kicking in 1st of July. Nothing's happened. And it's just not in the Belito area, in Salt Rock. It's across the North Coast. And I got Dion, he's the chairman, Dion Phil Yun, the chairman of the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, just to hop in and discuss a little bit on the service delivery and what he feels is a critical thing to point out. Just take a listen to this.
Good morning to Penny and to your listeners. DACRA and the community is alarmed, actually appalled, at the fact that the factionalism within the major party at the municipality has not been able to come up and appoint a mayor and a deputy mayor. That leaves the council without any leadership. There's an executive committee that can't take place. There are other portfolio committees that are not working. And it's not as if they haven't had sufficient time. I mean, there's been ample time to consider who to elect and who to appoint and who to bring into account. Legally, there's also a requirement to get this done with a certain period of time, and the municipality is now running out of that 14-day grace period to appoint somebody. The biggest damage, however, is the lack of resources, the lack of activity at the municipality, and the administrators are basically carrying on like they want to. We're looking forward to the appointment of a new mayor, and we're looking forward to work with him. But the hiatus that it causes is just unacceptable.
Yeah.
A small silver lining, however, is the various audits that are happening at the moment by COCTA, the Section 106, the NERSA audit that's taking place, the SIU investigation, COCTA is involved, the Hawks as well, the Auditor General, which will be arriving soon to do the year-end report. So there are certainly still oversight committees that are looking at the activities of our municipality, and we're delighted for that. DOCRA and the community will keep pushing to get our municipality and our council to stand up and actually take the ownership and leadership that they should and deliver the services that they should.
Yeah. So what basically we're wanting is accountability. We're going to have to
absolutely
see that.
And Penny, it's got to be joint accountability. Yeah. So it can't just be political accountability, because for every tainted politician, there's an official that has enabled that action.
Absolutely.
And it's got to be a charge on both ends. It's got to be the administrators and the politicians that are held to account. And Dion is very correct that there are legislated timelines in terms of the Municipal Structures Act to fill the vacancy for a mayor. And Quadaguza is in an extraordinary position because we don't have a mayor or a deputy. Because ordinarily what would have happened is a deputy would have been acting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's opportune for COCTA to now come in and even issue Quadaguza with the Section 139
which
notice,
means what?
Which would be problematic.
What
so there's
mean?
Multiple 139 notices that can be issued. The 139A would be giving the municipality the council notice to elect a new mayor within a certain time frame. 139B could even be COCTA putting in an acting mayor.
Okay.
And then a 139C is when they put the entire municipality under administration, and then you go out to fresh elections and elect a whole new council. So it's problematic, but it's telling of how the ANC's internal factional battle is just impacting what's happening in the greater area.
Yeah, you know, this is so critical. A lot of pundits are actually saying there are forces within the council that actually do want the, you know, the municipality to go under administration. So, you know what? I think what matters most to the ordinary man is that more jobs are created, people can put food on the table for their families, they need to feel safer, and basic services are being delivered. And the public have lost their patience for political ambiguity. They want delivery, and they want politicians to do what they're paid to do. Service delivery can't wait for politics. So we are going to be keeping the story alive. We're going to be tracking it as it unfolds and privy. We're going to be monitoring how, you know, the political parties play out and the roles that they're going to, you know, step up to in
absolutely
this critical time.
And the role that you as independent media have to play during this time, I think that's also critical. Yeah. So thank you for the platform.
Well, thank you for joining me, Privy.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring. With over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.